This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment, you'd like to contribute information to the show, and you're listening on Facebook Live right now, you can comment on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. We are recording our shows on Mondays now using Facebook Live and then playing them at our normal times on Wednesday at WHUS 91.7, WHUS.org. We will continue to do this until we are allowed back in the studio on the UConn campus, which I don't foresee happening in the near future. But anyway, you can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Ron's rant of the week. The great experiment moves forward. The Tour de France is on. As much as I'm overjoyed about this, and I think it's really great that, you know, we're going to be able to watch the Tour de France real soon. It's going to be at the end of August, and that's really cool. I'm a little concerned. I am really, really concerned. I'm concerned about the riders. I'm concerned about the spectators who tend to, well, let's put it this way. When you go to the Tour de France, and I have never been, but I know a number of people that have been, it's an enormous party is what it is.
And there's alcohol.
And there's a lot of alcohol. That's what she said. So anyway, there's alcohol involved. And when there's alcohol involved, people get a little sloppy.
And they're not real good at social distancing.
And they're not good at social distancing either. So what we have is kind of a bad combination because people are not going to be as careful when they are inebriated. And that is kind of a theme of going to the Tour de France. You sit there and you wait on the side of the road for the parade to come through. The parade is the pre-Tour de France, which is where all the advertisers drive through in all their vehicles, and they throw out free samples to you as you're standing on the side of the road, or they just go by, like I said, in a parade, and they are, they're advertising their goods is what they're doing. And so as people are waiting to see the tour come through, which goes by in a flash, they are drinking and partying and socializing. And many of them are get to where they get to on bicycles, and they'll actually ride their bike all the way up to the top of one of these unbelievably nasty climbs, and they'll sit up there and they'll wait, and then they'll get back on their bikes and they'll, you know, ride back down. Hopefully they haven't been drinking too much because that could be a tough descent. But anyway, there's a lot of partying that goes on. I'm concerned about the Tour de France being on. It is the largest, most watched spectator sporting event in the world, primarily because it's not only seen on all of the media, but it is also so many people just go out and watch it because you can watch it for free. So it's kind of a cool deal as far as that goes. But I am really, really concerned for the riders. The Colombian Tour de France hopefuls are departing for Europe, I believe, on Sunday. And I have a little bit to talk about that later on in the show. So anyway, yeah, that's my rant of the week. Are we really ready for the Tour de France? I know I am, but that's I'm very concerned about those that are involved and all the protocols. We're going to talk about that a little later in the show. On a positive side, if you go to the Tour de France's site, and I believe I posted this on the Facebook page, so you might want to check this out. There's something called the Tour de France United, the summer cycling. It's a riding for the cause with the tour, and it's really cool, and it is It's basically raising money for getting kids on bikes. I mean, what a brilliant platform to do this with. And so if you go there and you kind of, you know, feed through on the page, I think it's a Facebook page that's posted that I put it on my Facebook page so you can check that out. Check it out. It's kind of cool. there's some nifty stuff going on there, and it is, let's see here. Let me see if I can make this happen. Pull that out. And it's not pulling it up. Okay, anyway, doesn't matter. But check it out and see what you think. I think that is, it is definitely a neat thing. Also, check out my Facebook page again for the coolest SUV alternative from Cargo Bikes Unlimited. I share a page with Cargo Bikes Unlimited. If you are in any way into cargo bikes and the concept of them, this is a cool site to visit. It's really, really cool. It's called Cargo Bikes United, and they have a video on there, which is just so cool. And come on, tell me I put it up here somewhere. So anyway, it's this mom, and she is driving this bicycle thing, and there's four kids inside of it. And it's like a little bus. It looks like a little minivan. It's hysterically funny when you look at it, but what a cool idea. And where was it made? In either Belgium or Denmark. It's one of those places that actually, you know, pays attention to bicycling as an alternative form of travel, or maybe not alternative, but the mode of travel, preferred mode of travel. In our world here, in the bike world. So anyway, check it out. It is so cool. I was really, really impressed. So yeah, it's a nifty little thing. So anyway, that's my on the positive side. And oh, by the way, that mom, that when she's got the four kids in there, she looks like fresh as a daisy. She's just pedaling along. She's having a great time. That's one fit woman, let me tell you. I mean, I have pulled trailers with one kid in the back. I've pulled a trailer with two kids in the back. And I'm going to tell you right now, it requires some effort. You got to put a little bit more oomph into it to make that thing move. So, and when you get to the hills, of course, that's not even I don't even want to talk about that. It's a lot more work. But, you definitely feel it. But anyway, there's some cool stuff. There's cool stuff coming out of Europe always, because Europe is so far ahead of us as far as cycling goes, and paying attention to cycling as transportation. So anyway, check it out on the Facebook page. It's the coolest SUV alternative from Cargo Bikes United. Coolest thing I've seen. Anyway, the maintenance minute, I got a, Pete sent me a little, was this Pete? No, somebody else. It was somebody else who sent me a, let me go down here. It's not, I don't have them. It is my connection out west and also in Simsbury, Avon, and he puts here on the maintenance minute, hi Ron, thanks for your recent maintenance minute. I hope you have chased all the Squeak Creek gremlins away. Remember, I've been talking about the squeaks and creeks, excuse me. And I finally figured out that it was definitely in the seat post, which is what I thought it was. But anyway, he sent me over a really cool link, and he found a really good post. And it's this company now that call themselves BB Infinite. So bottom bracket infinite is what it is. They're obviously some sort of a machine shop business, and they have they've made some really, really cool things to help you with your bike and your bike creaks and all. And they have but one of the things that was noted here from our listener was the bottom line is keep your through axles dry, clean, and tight. Okay. Apparently axles, I have run into this same problem with quick release axles going through, you know, the little ones that go through the front wheel. You gotta kind of keep them, you know, cleaned up, because they will creak, but through axles apparently are even more of a problem. So you have to pay attention on another thing. And he said on another topic, you mentioned a carbon paste containing grit material. A couple of mechanics I know recommend a gritless carbon paste made by Motorex in Switzerland. That's Motorex. It enhances the mechanical grip between parts, but avoids the use of grit that could wear down frequently disassembled parts over time. Think of a seat post that's twisted in and out frequently. And so I'm going to check out the Mortitec Space, see what it does. It says it uses fibers instead of grit. So anyway, this listener also really notices the difference on that. But I'm going to go back to this BB Infinite, and they had a post that was put out last August, and it's the top five reasons your bike creaks and how to fix it. And number one, it's the skewers through axle most of the time. This one bites season mechanics in shorts all the time, so don't overlook it. I advocate checking the fastness of skewers and through axles prior to each ride. I had a story that I've told before about my friend Christian, who I was riding with, who had a horrible creak coming out of the front of his bike. And we went through, you know, I asked him all the questions. Have you checked this? Have you checked that? No. He's got a titanium bike. You know, it's a nice bike. But he was making this hard. And I made him pull over because I couldn't stand riding with him. And when I did, I checked his, you know, I went right to the handlebars and tried to, you know, torque around on him and get some noise out of it. I went to the bottom bracket and did the same thing with the cranks. And then I went to the front wheel and I released the skewer, which came off really easy. And then I tightened it up a little bit, put the skewer back on, and we got on our bikes, and no more creak. And he said, what did you do? And I said, are those titanium skewers on your bike? And he went, well, yeah, my bike's titanium. Everything's light. He's a weight weenie. He likes things that are real light. There's a lot of us out there. I understand. I said, go home. Do you have the original skewers that came on those wheels? He said, yes. And I said, are they steel with like aluminum levers on them? He went, yes. I said, go put them back on. Get those things off of there. And he said, what do you mean? They're titanium. Titanium, if you don't keep checking it, will stretch. And it will eventually, your skewers will become loose. And when they become loose, they make a creaking noise because your axles are dancing in your dropouts, and that's the noise he was getting. So I fixed it. It was easy. So anyway, so, you know, the best skewers that are out there are the robust ones, like the Shimano ones and the Mavic ones that give you a really high clamping force. I think, you know, don't skimp on this. And who cares if it's 20 or 30 grams heavier for that skewer? It's stationary weight. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. You're not going to feel it. If it's on the outside of your wheel, the rotating weight on your wheel, you're going to feel that. They're definitely going to feel that. Well, I don't know if you feel 20 grams, but some people claim they can. But, you know, it's stationary weight. It's on your hub. It's no big deal. So, you know, don't try to lighten things up there. So through axles are the new thing, though, because you're going to see through axles on a lot of bikes have disc brakes. And so you need to pay attention of it in a different way. So you fix a creaking through axle by cleaning it. You degrease the dropouts and stub axles that interface with the dropouts. You use a paint safe cleaner and you clean all the grease off the through axle except for a little thin coat on the threads. They said something different here. If the wheel moves around on the drops, then with the through axle clean and tight, then you need to swap out the through axle. And if that doesn't fit it, then you need to have dropout dimensions checked because there's a material defect that should be addressed with something other than a blob of grease. Interesting. Number two, the cassette lock ring. You know that lock ring. It's the one that you torque down to hold the cassette cogs in place. If it's not tight enough, you can get a creak. It happens. They recommend 40 Newton meters. It seems like a lot, but I put a lot of weight into mine. I definitely, you know, just sock it down pretty tight. I don't put a torque on it because I don't have the torque to check it, but it's on there real firm and mine don't come loose. But I have experienced that with other people that are having problems and they're shifting or they're making noises and they can't figure it out. They bring it over and it goes up on the rack in Ron's garage and I take a look and I pop that wheel off and sure enough, that lock ring is just loose as can be. And you can see it. you can see it because the actual cogs, sometimes they get so loose that the cogs are dancing back and forth, and that'll really screw things up. So,
Patrick is listening to you in Singapore, and it's 11:30 at
night. He's singing to you. That's nice, Patrick. That's great. In Singapore.
Well, yeah, because he's my Zwift friend.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
I met him on Zwift.
Hey.
He helped drag me around once on an Ascenders ride.
Well, thank you, Patrick. Yeah. I appreciate that. Appreciate you helping Fran out on her Zwifting. Mm-hmm. So she has become quite a Zwifter, and apparently you are too. So, way cool. I don't know that I've had a listener from Singapore before. That's really cool. That's totally cool.
And Patrick is really cool.
How about Facebook Live? I love this. So anyway, and of course, if you want to hear more episodes, you can go back to whus.org and you can listen to a lot of the different episodes that I've done over the years. So if you get hooked on this, I do appreciate it. Send me a note. Let me know you like it. That's cool. We love to hear that little self-promotion there. So anyway, the C-post and C-post clamp. This is the one I addressed last week. I told you about this. Two problems that they're seeing together, diagnosing the C-clamp. And then, so what you do is you stand next to the bike, you grab the nose of the saddle with one hand and the tail with the other, summon up your gorilla strength and attempt to rip the saddle off the seat post. Make it flex. If it creaks, fix it. First of all, on a flat level ground, take a picture of your bike to make sure the saddle angle. Yeah, I went through this last week. I told you about measuring from the nose down to the top of the top tube, and just make sure you get it back right so you get the angle right, and you don't want to have the angle wrong on your seat. I'm a big believer in putting a level also on the top of your seat to make sure you get that right. But anyway, if you pull your seat post out of the seat tube. Put a piece of electrical tape around it, and then you'll know where to put it back in so you don't screw up your measurements in any way. That's a good thing. Anyway, and that runs into the using a carbon paste on a creaky carbon bike. Finish Line brand I particularly like, but we're going to try this other stuff and see how it works because it's less grit. So I kind of like that idea. It says if you have a dropper post, and you've no choice but to smooth out the inside of the frame to get rid of whatever the carbon stalactites are causing the problem. This gentleman uses a 3/4-inch dowel with some 100 grit sandpaper wrapped and glued to one end to smooth things out. They also make these really cool, drill inserts that you put in your electric drill and you just drive it up and down. It's got little carbon things on it, and it cleans things up really, really nice in there. And that's what I think almost all the bike shops use, though. It's called a honing tool, and it really works well. It's just enough to clean it up. Don't take away any extra or major material there. Patrick says titanium stretches with a process called twinning. So it creaks when it releases the energy from the stretching. And I can't read the rest of it because it's on my phone. So you're going to,
you can
read the rest of that because it says see more. And I'm not going to touch that to
it
see
says,
more.
first he left.
Yeah.
It says titanium stretches with a process called twinning. So it creaks when it releases the energy from the stretching as a creak. Yeek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, and of course, the one that also is a big, big deal is the handlebars. And the headset. Do the twist on the handlebar like you're wrestling a steer. Next, grab a handful of front brake with one hand and pinch the headset cap with the other, bridging the gap between the cap and the frame with your thumb and forefinger. Now rest your forearm on the top tube of the saddle and bear down with your body weight as you rock the bike back and forth, fighting with the front brake. If you feel even the slightest movement between the headset cap and the frame, there's something wrong that must be addressed, whether it's creaking or not. So, again, if you're going to take care of creaking noises that are in addition to that up on the front end of the bike, remove the fork, remove and clean the headset bearings, grease the contacts, clean the steerer tube, and then apply the proper preload to the headset and torque the stem binder bolts down according to the manufacturer's procedures and note specifications. I also put a little bit of Loctite on the threads on the stem on in the headset too, and that just ensures that it stays there. So anyway, Number five they have here, if you've got Shimano's, Lux, or Speedplay's, or any other pedal system, they can all creak. The main cause of pedal-related creaking occurs when the dang things aren't screwed to the crank arm tight enough. And I have, yep, I had a story on this one too. But anyway, yeah, it happens. You got to check every once in a while. You got to check and make sure your pedals are in your crank arms tight. I know they are. I know you put them in that way. I know that it's not a problem. Check it. Believe me, this does come back and haunts you over time. So you need to definitely do that. I would also be concerned about worn cleats, worn pedal bodies, cracked hinging points. There's a lot of maladies that can cause creaking. So there's the top five. And you notice that the bottom bracket did not make this list. And that's what they say here is that's because although bottom brackets are a major source of bike creaking, we'd like for you to look at some other things first before blaming the bottom bracket. There are a myriad of other places that a bike can creak. And so anyway, there's a whole guide on their website. They're at bbinfinite.com. Kind of a cool thing. Thank you for sharing that to my listeners. That's a really cool thing. It's nice to see some solutions to some of the things that we're talking about all the time here. So moving on in the show, where are we here? So USA Cycling, I will say it again, they have a great event source list. So you might want to take a look at that. There's just so many things that are going on right now. People are talking about getting back on their bikes and racing. Things are happening. I think the time trial is probably the safest thing you can do right now if you're an avid racer and you need to do it. I just heard that Rentschler Field is opening up soon. The training races are going to happen out in East Hartford over at the football stadium. I'm not comfortable with it. But if you go to USA Cycling, they have COVID-19 resources. Look that up. If you want to Google it, you can Google it. It's USA Cycling, dedicated to help all organizers, clubs, and teams overcome the hurdles put forth by COVID-19. And they have assessment tools, a risk assessment tool, an event guideline, a rider checklist, and they have a survey that they put out, and they have some results there. Club and team advice, group ride guidance. That's a big one right there. Group ride scenarios, and then club waivers are also listed here. But you will also see three of the videos that they put out throughout the year talking about, returning to, the last one was returning to riding and racing. Event organizer COVID-19 update was June 22nd. So that was the last one they did. So I tell people that you really should source USA Cycling. This is a good thing. And again, if you're Googling this, it's COVID-19 resources at USA Cycling. And they've got a lot of things that they talk about here, and it's really good. Laura says tomorrow is Tuesday. Tuesday night series begins at Rentschler Field. Wow, I just don't know.
They're going to start racing at Rentschler Field?
Mike, did you say Clean Shave Monday? Are you talking about my whiskers here? Is that what that is? So anyway, that's the problem with being on Facebook Live. People can actually see you. And when you're on the radio, you can just kind of hide behind whatever you look like. But oh well, that's why I'm on the radio. So anyway, check out USA Cycling's COVID-19 resources. I think they're still spot on with what they're doing. I am not feeling super comfortable. We had a Fran was out for a ride the other day, and she passed a couple of friends coming up the road, and they were out riding together, and they both had masks on. And questioned her about it later on, she said that one of our two friends is just not comfortable at all with being out without a mask on, and she wanted to go ride with her friend, but she didn't want to be in any way to be exposed or compromised. Yeah. So that's a good thing. Fine. That's great. That's fine. If that's what you need to do to ride together, that's great, because what I am seeing, and I'll say it a bunch of times over and over again, I'm seeing people riding way too close to one another right now. I see and hear about trains going down the road, you know, maybe not, we're not talking like three or four riders here. We're talking like 10 riders in a long line, wheel to wheel, right next to one another. That's not 6 feet, folks. 6 feet is two complete bike lengths. If you're curious, measure your bike, figure it out. So anyway, this is not a thing you should be doing right now. If you have any questions as to what you shouldn't be doing, take a look at the states that are blowing up right now. Take a look at Florida. Take a look at Texas. Take a look at California. You know, they're all Arizona. They're on fire right now with COVID. Why? Because they opened up too soon, or they're not taking the right protocol here to keep themselves safe. So, moving on, Cycling Event Task Force releases race management guidelines for the COVID-19 era report. And this was from a piece on Bicycle Retailer, and it's not there. And anyway, there's just a lot of, here we go. That it's over here. You know, there's different protocol out there about what you should and should not be doing as far as, you know, riding together and in groups. I just can't say enough about, please be careful. Please be careful. I want to be able to continue to talk with you and ride with you and, you know, experience cycling with you. I'd hate to see something like that, you know, like this take you out. It's not good. Not good. So anyway, but it's going to get more confusing here very, very soon. So it's just a matter of time, but we're really jonesing for the whole get back out. And I understand, I get it. I'm certainly with you on that. And I know it is fun. I've done a couple of group rides but we've been really, really good. But you know, we gotta be super careful.
I rode with three guys gotta be on super Saturday. Careful. And you know, the other trick is, we did a 3,000 plus foot in less than 50 mile ride.
Yeah.
And so you can't really draft when you're schlepping up hills.
Well, that's the thing. You bring a really interesting point up, because as we get deeper into the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about what they're doing at the Tour de France. The first two stages of the Tour de France, you know how it's always like a time trial? It's super flat. And then the next stage after the time trial is like this, like super flat. Everybody's in a big group. First two stages are hilly.
Yeah.
So they figured it out. I mean, maybe they figured it out. We don't know yet. We're still, you know, not sure. Patrick says five in a group maximum, keeping apart at least 3 meters between groups. Yeah, I'm with you. Now, 3 meters, if you're familiar with a meter stick,
he's in Singapore.
You're right, but it's 39 inches, so times 3 is what we're looking at. So for those of you who are using a yardstick, it's more than 3 yards. So just to get an idea, that's what we're looking at. I mean, that's smart. It's smart. You still want to ride your friends? That's fine. Do that. If you want to, this is a real, real big time to promote riding on the roads without the cars on them, like the back roads, because you can ride alongside of someone, but be 6 feet apart and still have a conversation with them. You can still socialize with them. You can still go out and ride your favorite roads and favorite rides together. You can still do that. You just got to use the noggin. No drafting. Unless you live with that person, no drafting. Period. Knock it off. Don't be silly. So, how are you going to do it in the Tour de France? That's going to be our topic that we're going to get to in a little bit. It's, you know, they're doing the bubble thing like the NBA is doing. You know, that's where we're going with this. But in other cycling news, I'm going to push this one out of the way here and go here. So the Colombian Tour de France hopefuls are departing for Europe amid strict coronavirus protocols. So you're going to see Egan Bernal, Nairo Quintana, and 100 Colombian athletes land in Madrid. So they flew out, I think, on Sunday. Look, there's Nairo with the mask on. There they are.
Check it out.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. And look, these are all their team doctors in the back. I've got a picture up here on the screen from this. This is, by the way, if you want to find this, it's on Cycling News. That's cyclingnews.com. It's a British online journal about bicycle racing. I love it. It's got great stuff on it. They've arrived in Madrid aboard a special flight for athletes that left El Dorado, Luis Carlos Galán Sarmiento International Airport in Bogota on Sunday. So they left on Sunday, so they're there now, today. The coronavirus halted all international flights to and from Colombia on March 23rd and extended the ban through August 31st. Through August 31st. How about that? So they're still banned, but these guys were able to get out because they were going to go to the Tour de France coming up in August. There's other racing going on right now, too. Milan-San Remo, I think, is happening, and there are some concerns about that and concerns about the street traffic and all sorts of things. But there's a video of the riders arriving at Bogota Airport showing multiple layers of controls with riders using hand sanitizer outside the doors to the terminal and then again washing their hands before entering the ticketing area. They also wore masks during their 10-hour flight. If the professional bike racers can do it, why can't you? Figure it out. Okay, Quintana reportedly had a scare when he was out training in the morning before the flight when a box truck, this is Fran's favorite. This is Fran's favorite. I love this one. It's the Oreo cookie. The box truck passed his group of riders into an oncoming traffic and made an abrupt lane change in front of them, but none of the riders crashed. Now, the difference between the drivers in Colombia and the drivers here in the United States is, or this is from our observation, is the drivers in the United States will risk head-on collisioning with the other car before coming back over and taking out the cyclist. Why did you try to pass him in the first place? You're putting everyone in danger by doing that. Anyway, I'm ranting. I always do that.
I was thinking that sometimes I could call it the whoopie pie maneuver.
The whoopie pie. Okay. Explain the whoopie pie, Fran.
Well, because whoopie pie, it's like a Oreo cookie has two cookies with a creamy center.
Yeah.
And each car, so one of the cookies is the bike and the other cookie is the car, the oncoming car in the other direction.
Right.
And then the creamy center is the idiot.
Doofus that's doing
goes past in between.
You. Right.
So you can do that with a cream cookie.
You could.
A sandwich cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also do it with a whoopie pie. Instead of having cookies, now you have two pieces of cake with the creamy center.
Right.
So you have the cyclist, you have the oncoming, a car that's on the outside, and then you have the idiot that tries to go through.
Right, right.
And you would be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised at how many times people do that.
They do it more than they should. The patience level of motorized vehicle drivers is very, very, very
slight. I see it a lot on our road.
Very, very slight.
Because everybody knows that our road is an access road,
even though
it's a beautiful backcountry road that goes to Mansfield Hollow State Park. But it connects Route 6 and Route 195, so therefore it's a highway.
Yeah. Yep.
Why we don't have speed bumps, I don't know.
You gotta lobby for them. You gotta get out and make your argument. But I don't think you'll ever see speed bumps on our road because it is a pass through for people who speed, for people who are late to work going towards either Hartford or Yukon. So it's kind of a problem. I would love to see them. I'd love to see everything slowed down. We talked last week about the 20-mile-per-hour rule. 20 is plenty. People don't die when they get hit at 20 miles an hour. They do when they get hit at 40. It's a big difference. So anyway, the other thing about Nairo is he had only just resumed training after taking a blow to his knee after being knocked off by an inattentive driver in early July. So, you know, it's been a tough. Nairo, he should write a book about the, you know, the trials and tribulations of being a bicycle racer. That man has had just a ton of things happen to him all over the years. He's just kind of an amazing thing. But anyway, the athletes were cheered through the process by the president and sports minister of Colombia when they went over. So yeah, this is what's going on. You know, the Colombians are on their way. They're going to be participating in the tour. We've got two major contenders in that group. And you know, we'll see what happens. But anyway, that's a thing. I just want to bring it. There was other things in here. I know. That's their story. Okay. So now we move on to, we're going here, the towns on Milano San Remo, Remo route, express traffic and coronavirus concerns. So, you know, the race is on. As we know, the races are coming back, and the Milan San Remo is coming up very soon. 11 hours ago, the mayors were worried about the towns along the route and along the way during the summer holidays, because people are starting to take holiday, because the folks over in Europe were a little smarter than some of the folks in other parts of the world, and they've actually really kind of calmed down this whole coronavirus thing in a big way. But this is definitely the second part of the race route of Milan-San Remo on the coast of the Savona province in Italy. They voiced concerns to the race organizer about the coronavirus due to the people potentially lining up on the race route. At the same time, they say closing the roads is going to be particularly difficult due to the rescheduled race start for August 8th, now taking place at the height of the summer holidays. So yeah, here comes some more races at us. So if you have been, you know, just going out of your mind watching old race videos, because that's all you can watch right now, the new stuff is coming out. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Yay. Tune in to the Olympic Channel.
You can also watch the Tour de Zwift.
No.
Is that over yet?
No, I don't know if it's over yet. It's not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not into the Tour de Zwift. I mean, I know we talked about it last week, and we talked about Everesting last week. We talked about all these things that people are doing. But, you know, I want to see the real thing. And yet, I feel bad because I want to see the real thing, because, you know, we're compromising these riders, and I don't feel good about that. So I don't know. Anytime you're compromising, you know, and we're not the only ones. This is, you know, the NBA is doing their thing. Both men's and women's NBA are playing in the bubble down in Florida. That's not a place I'd want to be right now. But that's what they're doing. So, you know, apparently Mickey is coronavirus free, so they can do that, you know, because they're doing it at Disney. That's where the NBA is doing their thing, and they're closing it off, and that's what they're doing. So we'll see. And someone told me there was a baseball game on the other day too. I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway, yeah, things are starting to sort of happen. There were no one in the stands at the baseball game, but the baseball game was on. So, you know, there you go. That's good. We can do it without fans. And Billy says, Tour de France should not happen, with many exclamation points afterwards. I don't know what to tell you. You're right. I agree. But, you know, that's... what can we do? You know, it's like people have become impatient. And the impatience is starting to drive stupidity, which is really unfortunate. But... Billy's been watching old Tour de France and the Flanders on YouTube channel. Yeah, there's some good stuff out there. It's really, I mean, there's some classics. You go back and take a look at some of the real classics back in the days of Eddie Merckx and you know, Lucien Van Imp, and you know, great. Bernard Hinault, all the old, even the old Greg LeMond days. You know, those are just great, great stuff to watch if you're into watching bike racing. And you know, you really get to see the evolution of the sport from that point, which goes way, way back, you know. There's some good stuff. But yeah, you can whet your appetite for the bike racing by doing that. But anyway, that's what it is. I get it. I don't necessarily like it. That's all. So anyway, other items that are in the news here. The official Tour de France website. I talked about this a little bit earlier, and I wanted to just make sure that if you go to the official website, you'll see the virtual Tour de France. Clark and Stevens claim glory in Paris. I think it might be over, France.
Yes.
I think that's it. I think it's a done deal.
Champs-Élysées stage was Sunday.
Yep, that's it. So that the virtual is over. We watched Warrior Nun. Oh well. Well, we can probably still catch it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be recorded. Everything is recorded these days. So I talked earlier about the Tour de France United. Worth going to the Tour de France site. Go to LETOUR, that's LETOUR.FR, /EN/Tour-de-France. Anyway, you'll find it. Just Google it. It pops up pretty quickly, and you can go to the official tour website, and it may ask you whether you want to have it in English, because it's in French, but you can get it in English too. So that's what I'm looking at right now. So from the 27th of June to the 20th of September, so it's already started, the Tour de France United is calling upon community cycling fans to support a series of actions whose aim is to promote cycling, especially in response to the constraints imposed by the health crisis, to put smiles on the faces of children and make a real impact on the daily lives of underprivileged people. The Tour de France will be donating 1,500 bicycles to several partner organizations, both in France and abroad. A big bicycle drive is also organized in the towns and cities hosting the Tour de France in September for the benefit of Emmaüs. I guess. The goal is to give 5,000 bicycles a new lease on life. In order to give French fans the extra motivation, the Tour de France will donate 30 euros to the organization for each bicycle to give them a future on two wheels. Want to donate your bike right away? You can do that right here online. But anyway, once again, here we go. It's like there's so much cool stuff going on. We're in a rebirth, I guess I would call it. It's a great step forward. We're not making a step forward here. We're making a leap forward in cycling. It's being recognized all around the world as the safer, better alternative of travel just because of the virus. It was before the virus, but now the virus has made a lot of really, really, really good movement in the forward direction here. So anyway, if you go to this Tour de France United page, you'll also, there's a whole bunch of really short YouTube videos. It's fun to watch. You can have some fun with it there. I think it's a really cool thing, and I think it's great that the Tour has taken this on as a cause to help get more and more people on bicycles. It's a great thing. So anyway, check that out. That's a cool thing. Here we go. Tour de France. Remember, the dates are August 29th to September 20th this year. They depart from Nice, France, and they finish in Paris, as always. And what are we going to do to make this safe? That's a really good thing. Well, let's open with two tough hilly stages in the south country of the country. The 107th edition of the Tour de France will then head north to the southern point of the Alps. The race then moves southwestward after some tricky climbing stages, traveling downward down towards the first proper high mountain range in the race, the Pyrenees. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see possibly one of the hilliest Tour de France's we have seen. Why is that? Because it's safer. It's safer. It really is. There's going to be less people inclined to be on the sides of the roads because it's harder to get there. So that's going to be a thing, I think. Anyway, maybe it'll keep the crowds down. I don't really know. The riders will be immediately distanced in many ways because of the fact that they're breaking away on the hills. Hills are the great equalizers for everything. And this is going to be, I think this is going to be a climber's year at the Tour de France. So Tour de France, the classifications are, we've got defending champion Egan Bernal from Team Ineos, and he is he's returning alongside the 2018 winner Geraint Thomas, who wants another clear run for the Tour. How are they going to do that? It's going to be interesting. Four-time champion Chris Froome also hopes to be at the start for Ineos, and with the race's postponement, gives him plenty of time to fully recover from a horrific crash he suffered at the Criterium Dauphine last summer. Oof, that was bad. Peter Sagan will be back, and he's going to try to win an eighth green jersey after taking a record seventh in 2019 before he heads to the Giro in October. The Giro's in October, by the way, Fran.
Really?
Yeah, I'm wondering what the weather is going to be like at the Giro in October. Well, I don't know. You know, if you get up into the Alps, exactly. I mean, it could be ugly. It could be like blizzardy. But then it's like that in April. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. French riders were also finally trying to break their 35-year duck at the race with Thibaut Pinot. Oh, yeah, Pinot. I like him. He's good. He's a gutsy little rider. I really like him. He's left with some unfinished business following his abandonment on stage 19 of last year's edition. Romain Bardet, he'll also be attending the tour. He rides for AG2R. And so we're going to see him. He's had a disappointing few seasons at the Grand Tour Racing, but will take to the tour purely in the hunt for stage wins. Julian Alaphilippe, I like that guy too. You know, there's some great, great racers out right now. It's just this whole new breed of racers coming in. And Alaphilippe is, he's the man to watch. I bet they won't let him ride off the front this year. And he did that last time. That wasn't such a smart move. But anyway, it took forever for them to catch him. Jumbo Visma may be Ineos's main challenger for the general classification this year. They've got Tom Dumoulin, who is going to be riding with them, and Primo Roglic, last year's third place finisher in the Tour. Last year's third place finisher in the Tour was Steven Kruiswijk. I don't know if I ever pronounced that name right. But if we take a look at this, the Saturday race, the first race, it's funny, they said it was hilly, but the first race they're saying is flat and 156 kilometers, the first stage. Second stage is 187 kilometers in the mountains. Third stage is 198 in flat. Fourth stage, back again, hilly. So it looks like they're just mixing it up a lot, and you don't see a lot of flat stages in a row here. Only in a couple of places will you see that early September. There's 2 days in a row that's flat. But it's, that's what we're looking at. I see one time trial in here, and that is it. And it is towards the end of the race, and it will be the day before the grand parade into the Champs-Élysées. It'll be a 36-kilometer time trial. Let your legs think about that one for a little bit. That's always a good time. Remember, these guys, when they're doing the time trial at 36 kilometers, they're averaging 31 miles per hour. That's fast. That's real fast, in case you wanted to know. So The other thing that you want to understand too with the tour this year is there is a women's Tour de France, and Yay. That is going on. And there's a great article again in Cycling Weekly. And until this year, I had written off the women's Tour de France. It says Ashley Moulin-Passio. She's from South Africa, says she's hopeful for a women's Tour de France, more hopeful than ever for a women's Tour de France. So that's Ashley right there. She's kind of cute.
Yay.
And she looks like she rides for CCC Live.
Women on bikes.
Yeah, women on bikes.
Is that
we're going to.
South African She must be South African.
Yeah, she is. She's
yes,
South
that's
African.
That's the South African yeah. flag. I
yeah.
know that because of Zwift. Yep.
So she's, you can also, this is another one you can see on Cycling Weekly that that I like to use their information a lot because they have some really good information on bike racing and everything else. Patrick says, Pino is great. Punchy with panache, but lacks the consistency. Hmm. And yeah, Alaphilippe is the most complete French hope.
You know, it's
yeah,
midnight
I agree.
In Singapore.
I agree. That's all right. He's up. We got him. We got his attention. You know, we're having some bike talk here. It's good. It's a beautiful thing.
I'm so stoked that he's here.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's great he's here. I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. This is wonderful. So, yay, Patrick. Let's hear it for Pat. This is the tour is on. It is on. So there is going to be a women's race this year. It's definitely something I'm hoping that they give us the same kind of coverage that they give us with the men's race. I think that everyone is so starved for watching bicycle racing. I believe that we're probably going to get a lot. I bet the Olympic Channel is just going to be loaded with this stuff. And then there's the other avenues out there that you can get bike racing on too. So
that's bad.
That's Patrick. Hey, there's a picture of Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
He's been in the Ascendants, which is a yeah. group.
How long has he been in Singapore?
I don't
know. Yeah, that's a long ways away from here. And what's it like in Singapore? Is Singapore like, is it coronavirus-y? Is it like as bad as it is in other places?
They're doing group rides at five or less.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah. I don't know more than that.
So... You know, here it is. This is from Velo News. Tour de France outlines how it will organize the race in the COVID era. Two scenarios, one good, not so good, one's not so good. That's what the Tour de France is working on behind the scenes for the upcoming 2020 edition. First scenario calls for additional social distancing measures, but will largely look like any other tour for fans. The second is more stringent and more limitations on fans and media access, and it will be tested during the Critérium du Dauphiné. Dauphiné on August 12th through the 16th. So we'll see what happens then. Then they'll figure out exactly what they're going to do. This was, I think, broadcast. This was like 6 days ago I pulled this up. And they're going to report again back as soon as possible. So maybe we'll hear a little bit more about what they've decided as far as the organizers go for the tour and how they're going to try to keep things safe. We'll just have to see. So, the tour. That's it. It's what it is. And we are back. So we're also looking at, I did all that. So I'm going to go right to events and then some closing thoughts here because we're getting close to the end of the show here. Just to make another mention and shout out, I'm wearing the shirt, one of the shirts. I don't know which year this one is, Fran. You'd have to read it for
last
me.
Last year.
Sure. Is this last year's?
Sure
it's a yellow jersey, too. It's a yellow shirt. So this is from the Steeplechase Bike Tour. The Steeplechase is still on, folks. It's a local fundraiser we have here in the northeastern Connecticut area. There are three nonprofit groups who could really, really use your support. They have options for you, a number of different options. There are virtual rides. You can still download the routes. You can still go out and do them. You can still help them raise some money for their charitable organizations. Really, really need your help here. And our funds are matched this year, too, again, like they were last year. So a big shout out to the Steeplechase. There is also a 20-mile ride That will be going by the Holy Cow Shelter, which is, if you've never done the steeplechase, then you have missed that on that one. But anyway, that's the only ride that's actually going to be, you know, supported live, I guess. I might do that ride. I know Fran is actually talking about doing the 100-mile ride this year. I might do that ride and Facebook Live it just for fun. That might be a fun thing. So, another thing to be aware of is that the Farm to Fork Fitness, Farm to Fork Fondos are offering not one, not two, not three, not even six, but 7 mini tours this year. And they will, you can go to the farmtoforkfitness.com to check out the schedule. And yes, there will be a mini tour this year in our backyard, northeastern Connecticut. And it's called the Connecticut Quiet Corner Small Group Bike Ride. So, and that will be on September 13th, 2020. It'll just be that one day at this time, unless popularity increases it to two. We'll see what happens. So, and that's kind of a cool one because the proceeds from donations go to the Connecticut Audubon Society in Pomfret, which is where it will start and finish. So anyway, lots of cancellations. The Tour de France is on. Yep. Yeah. And the virtual tour is over. There we go. And the local officials give the go-ahead on November Eurobike. So it's going to happen November 24th through the 26th. Finishing points. So how do you feel about the return to bike racing in the Tour de France? I am desperately waiting on the edge of my seat to see some bike racing, but not really willing to go there. My TV will be the best option. My concern, my biggest concern, what about the safety of the athletes? I hope they figure this out. I hope they're safe with them. I hope no one contracts this horrible disease because they were out racing their bikes. Think of the compromise of the body because of all the extra physical effort you're putting out there. It can't be good. It's got to be really difficult, and I just really, really hope that they've got this thing figured out. I think it's a grand experiment. I'm concerned about it. I can't wait to watch bike racing again. What can I say? That's what I got. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. My name is Pedaling Ron, and you've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. This is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live on Facebook, on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or on a podcast, and you'd like to comment, send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And you can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, and now on Spotify. If you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, still haven't figured that out. We're working on it. Send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedaling Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs. Thank you for listening.